Last month at Farnham Common, we started a discussion about revelation. Because the key to us as believers is revelation. We stop at the point of knowledge, but we need to come to the point of revelation. Revelation is the rhema. Once you pick up this word. So today we want to take it further by saying, turning revelation to realization. Turning our revelation to realization. If we look at Proverbs 23, verse 18, Proverbs 23, verse 18 says, surely there is an end, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. Surely there is an end. That is why we have just sung that brief song. I expect a miracle. We should expect the supernatural intervention of God. But the Bible is assuring us, the word of God says, for surely there is an end. Thy expectation shall not be cut off. So our task, our journey as a believer is for us to have expectation. Anytime we have a revelation on a subject, we have to wrap an expectation around it. We have a revelation on the promise of healing. It says, by your stripes, by his stripes, I've been made whole. So we should have an expectation that we shall not be sick. Any sickness today, he said, surely there is an end. There is an end. That means it is for a moment. Say, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Whatever situation we are facing, whatever challenges, we should have it in our mind that there is an end to this. All of our expectation, whatever your expectation is, the Christian life is a life to be lived in expectancy. We need to be expectant. In our businesses, we need to expect the best. Expansion. In our career, expect promotion. Expect exaltation. This is our year of elevation. We need to be expectant. Concerning that child is not behaving the way you want, expect that there will be a turnaround. It's all about expectation. Expectation is strong belief. Nehemiah expected that the wall will be completed. Paul, Apostle Paul, was spreading the gospel that he expected to spread the gospel across the Asia continent then. That was his expectation. Everybody, we have his own expectation. So what we are saying is, for our expectation to become realization, it's about some framework which we are going to try and explore today. I've got this framework for us to look into so that these are the elements, these are all these. For our expectation or our revelation, whatever revelation that we have caught, whatever vision that we are holding on to, whatever promise of God that we are believing God to do something, anywhere in our life we are expecting an intervention, we are going to be, let's be aware of this framework. We said, for every expectation, there is a fixed time. To every expectation, we need to focus on it. And concerning each of our expectations, we need to fight for it. To see the realization, we need to fight for it. And we need to frame it. We have to frame it. We have to direct the course. This is how I want you to be. That is the framing aspect. And above all, I've said that everything rests. The bedrock or the pillar of everything is faith in God. Faith in God. First of all, let's examine the first element of that. Fixed time. To every expectation, there is a fixed time. In Genesis 18, and the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am old? So, and is there anything too hard for me, for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you, and according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a child, a son. This was Abraham and Sarah. Their expectation, when God called them out, promised them land, promised them a child. But here they are, after waiting and waiting. But God came to assure them, because Sarah was doubting, will this ever come to pass? Brothers and sisters, whatever you are believing God for, it is not. God said there are three elements of time here, which I picked in this particular scripture. God said to Abraham, at the appointed time, there are three things. There is an appointed time. There is a time of life. And there is now. Every one of us, we are now. This is where we are now. That is the now. That's the element of now. But between the appointed time, and God will always do things at the time of life. Time of life connotes the season where that thing will blossom. Where there is said, because the Bible has said that to everything, he said, God makes everything beautiful in his time. Everything will be beautiful at the God's appointed time. So here was Sarah and Abraham doubting, but God came to assure them that there is an appointed time. There is an appointed time that I will come back and give you that son at that appointed time. So my hush to everyone today is, for that thing you are believing God for, there is an appointed time. There is a fixed time. God will not forsake us. God will not leave us. Because all things, he will make it so beautiful in his own time. So that's why when God came back, when that promise actually came, happened, that was when in Genesis 21, God referred us, when the child came now, in Genesis 21 verse 2, God made us realize, or the Bible made us realize, and said, and the Lord visited Sarah as he has said. And the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. Look at he's not saying to them that Sarah conceived and bore Abraham's son in the old age at the time which God has spoken to him. That means God did not bypass that time. It's an appointed time. Everywhere we go, if we have an appointment, to every appointment, there is a time and there is a place for it. May we not miss our time and place of appointment. Because both of them must line up. Moriah is a place to go and offer. There is a place. God, this is an appointed time. This is a place. And above all, we need to be weary of the season. The season is that time of life when things is set, when God has ordained that thing to blossom. That is, it will not, a mango will not flourish outside of its season. There is a season for it to flourish. That is why the Bible made us realize in Psalm 1 verse 3 that we shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. We will bring forth our fruit in our season. He said, our leaf shall not wither. Our season matters. We need to pray to God that give me understanding of the season. Understanding of the season. I think we have heard of the children of Issachar. In the book of Chronicles, why the Bible referred to them is, they said they had understanding of season. May we never lack understanding of the season and times that we're operating in. Whatever vision, whatever dream, whatever expectation that you are carrying on your heart, as we lay it before God, the grace to wait until the appointed time, let it rest upon each and every one of us. Amen. Because I remember there was a time there was a tree. I was angry with that tree, that this is not looking good. Pulled it out. Fortunately, the tree refused to pull out. I gave up. But now when I see it, even this morning, I said, this is what I wanted to pull out that time. It's beautiful now. As the season changes, I think so it's springing up. Oh, look, if I had pulled it out. So that gave me an understanding of there is a season to everything. Brothers and sisters, every vision, every expectation that you have wrapped around any expectation, let us believe God that there is a fixed time for it. God is a God of appointed time. God is a God of appointed time. Every prophecy, every promise, they are for an appointed time. Habakkuk said, the vision is for an appointed time. Wait for it. Though it tarries, wait for it. Oh, you are believing God for favor. God says, my favor will come. He said, in Psalm 102, said, the appointed time to favor you, yea, the set time has come. It's all about time. God should give us understanding of those times and those seasons in the name of Jesus. Another aspect we want to focus on, once we know that there is a fixed time, we said, for that expectation, we need to have focus. Focus on it. Don't let us be distracted. So many things distracts our focus, breaks our focus. We need to focus on it, no matter how long it takes. Noah was building an ark for over 100 years. Everybody thought, what are you doing? This thing is never going to happen. But when it happened, he focused on what he has been asked to do. Brothers and sisters, let's learn to focus. It is in the womb of focus that that expectation will be birthed. So if you look at Hebrews 12, which we focus, Hebrews 12 says, therefore we also, since we are all surrounded by so great cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that easily ensnares us or besets us. Verse 2, let us run with race, the race that is set before us. How do we run this race? He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. So I brought out three things out of this scripture that as we focus, what are we focusing on? We focus on Christ. But this time around, we are calling it the risen Christ because we are still in the season of post-resurrection. Because, 2,000 years, Jesus, he was still around us. He was going about. So I said, let's focus on the risen Christ. Said, looking unto Jesus. Because if he's the author, also he's going to finish it. That is why if he has enabled you to, if you are saying that we picked up this expectation from his revelation, he's the author of that revelation. He's the author and the finisher. So as we journey through that sickness, that whatever situation, we should what? Focus on Christ. Focus on the risen Christ. We also said in that scripture, he said we should focus on our race. It's a race. Life is a race. Everybody's race is just different. And my race is different from your race. We said, for instance, David, God used David from, God started his work with David at the age of 17. Whereas Moses was at the age of 80. Let's look at that gap. So everyone's race is different. Everyone's race is different. So the other thing we said in that scripture, as we focus on our race, let us focus on the reward. The risen Christ, the race, and the reward. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross? Are you preparing for any exams, A-levels, those that are doing the A-levels, those that are doing the uni? focus on the reward. Focus on that exalted position that you will occupy when you finish. Don't look at all the challenges today. It's only for a time. Focus on the reward, the joy of what will come out of it. Because it's very good for us to focus. The marriage is hard today. No, let us focus. There is a reward. The children that will be that will go global, there is something in that marriage. Anytime we focus, there is always a reward for focusing. Every expectation has a waiting period. Let us learn to focus. Look out in Psalm 84. Let's see one of the benefits when we focus on what we are called to do. Psalm 84 from verse 5. He said, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on a pilgrimage. When your heart is set on a pilgrimage, then you have a mentality that I am going somewhere. I am going on a journey. I am going for a purpose. A pilgrimage, when you are going for instance, those who go for pilgrimage to Jerusalem or anywhere, it's for a purpose. It's for a reason, religious purpose, rejuvenation, whatever they are going for. And in verse 5 says, if you do that, if your heart is set on a pilgrimage, then what happens to you? It said in verse 6, as they pass through the valley of Baca, another translation we call that valley of weeping. That means as you pass through rough situation, what do? They make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. So that is, once your heart is focused, you may be going through, what will I call it, challenges today. You may be going through what you cannot even share with people. But brothers and sisters, the Bible says once our heart is focused like a pilgrimage, like somebody going somewhere, then we are bound to turn that valley of Baca, that place of weeping, we are bound to turn it into a spring. We are bound to turn it into something that will be joyous to us. Not only that, it's assuring us that you will turn into a spring, there will be pools of water. Verse 7 of it says, you will go from strength to strength. You will go from strength to strength. You will go from strength to strength. That is why appearing here, he said, each appearing before God in Zion. That is part of the benefit of fellowshipping, coming to meet each other. You will go from strength to strength. This is when we focus our mind that this is a pilgrim. Surely there is an end. Your expectation shall not be cut off. So these are all the things, these are things we need to focus on. Said the focused heart increases in power. That's the benefit of focusing. Like we mentioned this earlier today, once you focus on something, our guys that do the gym, once they focus on building their muscle, they get it built. That is inevitable because they have focused their eyes on that. They have focused their eyes on that. To everything, as we focus, let us beware of focus breakers. Many things we want to break our focus, but we need to be strengthened in the Lord. We need to be strengthened in the Lord. So as you go, whatever situation you are going through today, God is saying that in that once you make up your mind that I am focused, he said like a flint, once you set your eye like a flint, that means nothing can break our focus. Say you will turn that valley of weeping into a spring of water in the name of Jesus. That's the power of having a focused mind. Don't focus on anything bad. Because if you focus on anything bad, you are just energizing it. It's bound to happen. Things will go wrong. That should not be our focus. That should not be our focus. So as we, the things that tends to break our focus, we said that warfare will break our focus. Wounds or pains or hurts will break our focus. Waiting, that is when we call delayed expectation, we tend to break our focus. So whatever it is that we are doing, let us maintain focus. Focus is a key thing there. The next pillar, the next framework we want to examine this afternoon, it's said fight for it. To turn our expectation into realization, we need to fight for it. The Christian is a life, fight for it. It's so amazing that if you fight for it, well, you know, we should not be fighting. We are. But look, at God first of all made it clear to us in Deuteronomy 2:24. He said that he has given us a land. Arise, take your journey, cross over the river Arnon. Look, I have given into your hand Sihon, the Amorite, the king of Heshbon, and the land. He said, begin to possess it and engage him in battle. This is God. If somebody say, oh, that's Old Testament. Okay, let's pack that aside. That is Old Testament. We don't fight in the New Testament. But Apostle Paul said to us, fight the good fight of faith. No. That's still Apostle Paul. That is Apostle Paul saying there's 40. But Apostle Paul, when he wrote to Timothy, he said, my son, Timothy, is it? That would be 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy verse 1, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. He said, he wrote to Timothy. Now, he has said, I fought. But he now said, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them wage the good warfare. It's a good fight. It's a good warfare. He is saying to Paul, there's a fight we have to fight as Christians. But it's just, we don't fight the flesh. We fight by the faith. That is what we just need to understand. That Paul said, I have fought the good fight. He's urging us, he said, fight the good fight of faith. Timothy, you too. But you, it's all, our understanding is, how do we fight that fight? So that we don't end up fighting the fight of flesh. Said, the weapon of our warfare, they are not carnal. That means the warfare that is before me and you, we cannot fight it carnally. We cannot fight it like Gaza is fighting Israel today or whatever is going on in the Middle East. No, our warfare is, how do you go about that fight now? Let's examine it. He said, first of all, to go about, what is this fight? Because we really don't want to talk about fight. But the way we go about our own fight is, first of all, discover the word or the revelation on that matter. Like we have been told, by his stripes are made whole. So you have discovered the word. He said, those that dwell in Zion will not say, I am sick. So in any challenge that you are facing, the children that you have given to me, they are for signs and for wonders. So those are, you first of all have that, this is the weapon. Once you know the word, once you discover the word, the promises, he said, by the reason of the cross, there was a great exchange. Instead of my poverty, I have been made rich. Instead of my sin, I have been made righteous. Remembering us of what it has done. So that is, we have discovered the word on that matter. Then we release our faith on that word. We release our faith on that word. Once you have your word, you release your faith, then you present your case. Present your case. You know, you get to a point, you said, I was listening to a testimony some weeks ago. Someone said that they said that the medical report says he has hepatitis B. What did this guy did? that I've been serving you. I've always been on outreach for you. Funnily, he said, he brought out two chairs. He sat down. Jesus, sit down. Now, look, this is what your word has said concerning the matter. I cannot have it. That's somebody now wrapping his faith with that expectation. That is all we are talking about, the fight. We are fighting this war. This fight for it is all about using the word to present your case. So since it is according to the word of God, God cannot deny himself. God cannot deny himself that this person, he has done what I expect to do. So God cannot deny himself. That is how we fight this good fight of faith. Any to every man's Canaan land, there are giants. To everybody's Canaan land, there are giants. As believers, it will not be good to believe that, oh, for every challenges, we want to run away. We cannot. We cannot. Even Paul himself should have excused himself in Ephesus. He wrote to the people of Corinth when he was drawing out his plans, I will come to you. But when he got to 1 Corinthians 16, verse 8 to 9, he made mention of the need for him to fight. Why? Because previously, Paul has been doing a great job. Extraordinary works, extraordinary oracle was happening for him in Ephesus. But when he told them, when he was now sending a letter to them that, look, in this Ephesus, a great thing is happening for me. He said, but I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost. A great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. He is saying to them, wait. Because if you want to know all the adversaries he was facing in Ephesus, the sons of Sceva, the Demetrius, the coppersmith, so many challenge against the ministry, yet there were many great things happening. So in the midst of him realizing his expectation, he was challenged. But he refused to give up. He was fighting that good fight of faith. And we all know what happened. He triumphed over them. So anytime God has given you any promise that you have located in his word, that you are saying, Lord, your name is at stake in this matter. Your name is at stake in this matter. That, Lord, I have served you by your grace, because it's not by our works. It's by his grace, and you have located his word. He said, by two immutable words, he cannot deny himself. Once you have the word, that this is what your word says on this. Why am I not healed? Why am I not experiencing progress in my life? Some people, okay, let's leave it. That is how God knows. The plans God has for us, he said, is good and not evil. Why are my children not a sign and a wonder? We have to confront God. We have to say, this is your word. As long as we are approaching God on that matter, that this is your word. Some time ago, concerning my business, we were having big challenges about water. And without water, that is the end of that business. But the day I discovered Isaiah 48, verse 21. He said, he cleft the rock and the water gushed out. That means, because what I'm saying is, drilling for borehole has been so more challenging that we have been trying and trying. But the moment I caught that word, that borehole is not about the God said, he cleft the rock and the waters gushed out. Father, cleft this rock. Let there be outgushing of water. Today, water is not an issue. We thank God for that. So what am I saying is, we could have, even we had experts that came that was even blaming me, that why would you even start a business without doing your water analysis? It's like, there is no way. But with time, we begin to speak to that ground, speak to that land, and water is gushing out today. Because of when you say, he cleaved the rock and the water gushed out, Isaiah 48 verse 21. So that is what we're saying, that when we fight, we need to, any expectation, anything that we have picked from the word of God, any rhema that has been dropped in our spirit, fight to see it happen. Don't easily, because it's not easy. They will, okay, let him go. There will be contention. He said, I have given you this land. Cross over. Go and possess it. But you have to contend in battle. Anytime we are fighting, have expectation that God is with us. Amen. This is what we saw in one of the mighty men of David. 2 Samuel 23. Everybody, they were afraid. They were abandoning what God has given to them. And we have this account. It said, after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Aranite. The Philistines has gathered together into a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils. So all the people fled from the Philistines. Who are Philistines? Philistines simply means anyone challenging your breakthrough, challenging your progress. So these are people that have come to challenge the land God has given to them. But Shammah distinguished himself. He said, but Shammah stationed himself in the middle of the field, defended it, and killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought about great victory. He wasn't alone. Anytime you are fighting for the promise of God, God is with us. God is with us. Because we need to have that consciousness. Because that is the key thing. That is what will bring about the victory. It's not because he stayed behind. But God was with Shammah that day. The same thing, you remember when Sanballat, Tobias, and Amorite, when they were troubling Nehemiah, when Nehemiah was rebuilding the wall. Say, at a point in time, you see Nehemiah 4:6, he said, Nehemiah prayed to God and said, Lord, strengthen our hands. Strengthen our hands. So, brothers and sisters, every fight you need to fight, God will be with us. Amen. We will triumph. We will have victory. Anticipate inevitable supernatural intervention of God. Expect a miracle in that area. The weeping may be for a night. Joy is coming in the morning. Amen. Said, your expectation shall not be cut off. Surely there is an end, and our expectation shall not be cut off. Amen. Our expectation, once you have an expectation, the Bible is assuring us it shall not be cut off. It shall not be cut off. We have looked at the fact that to every expectation, there is a fixed time. We need to focus on that expectation. We need to fight for it. Then the other thing is we need to frame it. We need to frame it. How do you frame it? We need to frame it. First of all, because is it in the book of Psalm, say ye are gods. That means the Bible says we are what? We are gods. We are gods. Ephesians 5 verse 1, he said we should be what? Imitators of God. Is that clear to us? If God is saying we are gods, we should be what? Imitators. Ephesians 5 verse 1. Ephesians 5 verse 1, let's start with that first said, therefore, be imitators of God as their children. That means we should do what God does. We should do it. So whatever we have seen God do or what God is doing, he said we should be what? Imitators. We should copy our God. He said, ye are gods. We are gods. So what is he saying? And when we now frame it, So leads us to Hebrews 11:3. How do you, what is the framing there? Say, but by faith, we understand. First of all, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So brothers and sisters, we can frame our own world. This is how I want this situation to be. We can frame it. You can determine it. Oh, it's not working the way I want it. We can use our mouth. This is how we are saying the whole words were framed by the word of God. So we have to use our mouth to frame our world. Look at, since we all understand that God has said we should be imitators, whatever we have seen God do, go and do it. Psalm 33, in Psalm 33 verse 9, it says, for he spoke, it was done. He commanded, and he stood fast. That means me and you, we can do what? We can speak, and it will be done. We can do what? We can command, and it will stand fast. We can command. We are meant to be commanders. We are meant to be commanders. We are meant to, this situation, you don't belong to this home. This behavior of this child, no. This is foreign to this house. In the name of Jesus, whatever spirit that is within you, I command you, leave. We have to be commanders, but we command with the word. So if, look at when he said, he spoke and it was done, he commanded and he stood. Verse 10 of that says what? The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. That means everything of the nations, that means that is anything foreign to the Lord God now, he brings it to nothing. Because you are the one that we said, every mouth that rises against you, you shall condemn. He said, no weapon, form, or fashion against you. And every mouth that should rise against you, you have to condemn it, God will confirm it. Because what you don't condemn, God is not bound to confirm. Your job is not confirmation. Your job is decree it, speak it, and wait for God to perform his word. So don't keep quiet. To every situation you don't like, don't keep quiet. That Hebrews 11 verse 3 says, by faith means that you know how it works. He said, by faith we understand. That means, understanding is, no, we started from knowledge, understanding, revelation. So when you understand, you know how it works. So that Hebrews 11:3 is just saying that. He said, by faith, we know that the words were framed by the word of God. That means anything that is not in line with your expectation. I have not had a job for the last 6 months, 1 year. Or I have not had my desire. No, begin to frame it. Go to the word of God. I am blessed. As Deuteronomy 7:14 says, I am blessed above others. I am fairer than the sons of men. That means any interview that you go to, wherever your name is lingering, the Lord maintains my lot. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance. The boundary lines are falling for me in pleasant places. Those are all the words. Those are all the things you are using to frame it. That is how we want it to be. That is how the situation you want. Don't people vocalize it. We specialize on what we are going through instead of saying what you want. We spend too much time on saying what we are going through. We are meant to be commanders. Even our Lord Jesus, he said, out of darkness, is this that 2 Corinthians 4:6? He said, out of darkness, he commanded light to shine forth. They didn't deal with darkness. Inside that darkness, light come forth. We did, those are all the things we need to, that you are seeing that situation. You are seeing it. Don't let our mouth be kept short. Keep saying it. Keep speaking it. So mightily agree the word of God, and it prevail. So that is all we, that is how to frame things. Out of darkness, 2 Corinthians 4:6, out of darkness, the light came out of it. The light came out. similar thing in at the beginning, Genesis 1. And they will say the same. God started, there was chaos, there was darkness. But he said, let there be light. Let there be light. He did not spend time dealing with darkness. He called forth light out of darkness. Whatever situation, whatever valley or baker you may be going through today, in the name of, let us learn to command the situation. In the book of Job 22, he said, you will decree and decide a thing, and that thing, it will be established for you. Look at the job description there, or everybody's role. He said, you will decree and decide, or you will decide and decree a thing. That's Job 22, verse 28. I didn't know whether I gave that. So, you will decree and decide a thing, and it will be established. Only God will establish what you have decreed and what you have decided and decreed. God will do the establishment for you. How will he establish for you? Say, light will shine on your path. Light. You will no longer walk in darkness. God is going to establish that situation, that challenge you are battling with. First of all, make up your mind. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. He says, you will decree and decide. Another translation, some will just say you will decide a thing. But you, first of all, decide. No, I don't want this situation. Sickness, you don't belong to my body. You have to decide. You don't want it. He said, and you will decree it. God, once you have done that, God, he said, and it will be established for you. How does God establish things for us? By giving us light. The word of God is the light we are saying. And that light will shine on our path. In the name of Jesus. So, we need to frame whatever we are going through. Don't keep silent. Whatever you are not willing to confront has the right to remain. Whatever you are not willing to confront, it has the right to remain. It is what we say, no, we don't want this. We don't want this. It's not about our cry. It is about taking the word of God to him. Daddy, this is what you say. He said, if I serve you, I will live my days in prosperity. You have to just, that's why we said it's about revelation, it's rhema. It's not about, once you discover it for yourself, that is it. That is it. So, then finally, everything that we have been saying, that it's for a fixed time, focus on it, fight for it, frame it. Everything underlying it is what? Faith. It's all about faith in God. Not faith in the performance. Faith in God. A lot of us tend to have faith in God's performance, not faith in God's personality, person. What do I mean? For instance, we all know, the children, the three Hebrew boys, they got to a point and said to themselves, King Nebuchadnezzar, even if God does not deliver us, we are not ready to bow. They had faith in God. It's not whether God does it or does not do it. That is where we should build up that faith in God, not in the performance of God. So we should build our faith to the extent where, again, copying the woman mentioned, the woman with the issue of blood in Matthew 19, said, when she heard that Jesus was in town, what did she do? She made up her mind. She first of all said to herself, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Did she encounter some fight? I could imagine that day. You know, Jesus was walking, all the bodyguards, all the disciples, actually. You can imagine get away, go away. But she had made up her mind that if I can but touch this M, I shall be made whole. At the end of the day, she got what she wanted. That was why Jesus knew. Whereas the disciples around him did not know. Somebody has touched. The disciples were, well, what do you mean somebody touched in this crowd? No, Jesus knew somebody came with somebody has a focused mind. Somebody was determined that something has left me that day. So that was how she got her faith, her healing that day. Praise the Lord. So the woman was so determined. She had faith in God. So what I don't want to spend too much time on faith because that's our ethos in this church. But all I'm bringing out with is let us learn to have faith in God, not faith in his performance. So that you will not be looking at, I've been praying about this sickness. It's still not going. You are looking at the performance. That was what Job was so consumed. Said, though he slays me. Look at the wife of Job. We do not curse God. And that, no. He so much believed in God. Job 14:14, he was saying, I will wait until my change comes. So those are all the conviction for our expectation to become a reality, to realize everything. We need to learn to, these are things we need to bear in mind. That God has given you something, we want it to land on our laps without any issue. But we need to be prepared for this. It is for a fixed time. There is an appointed time. There is a season of life. There is a time where God says he makes all things beautiful in his time. Between now and the appointed time, we need faith. Faith to hold on, not to be distracted. We need to be focused. We need to be focused. The author and the finisher. The author and the finisher. Don't just make him the author. He said he is the finisher. So whatever he has begun in each and every one of us, he is able to finish it. He is able to finish it. We need to fight for it. We need to fight for it. Don't fight against, fight for it. Because why are we fighting for it? It is written. Jesus was fighting Satan based on what is written. So as long as you locate what is written, you have to fight for that what is written so that it becomes a reality in your life. In the name of Jesus. Long life is my portion, is my heritage. I shall not die but live to see the glory of God. So all those things, it is, we are fighting based on what is written. We are not fighting physically. Then use your mouth, frame it. You will decide, you will decree. You are a commander. He said we should imitate God. Do as I do, because ye are gods. Psalm 62, we have been made, we are God. Imitate, be imitators of God. So if we say, the whole world were framed by the word. So your whole world, your own heaven, you can use your mouth to frame it. You can call forth your own open heavens. Everybody, yes, we are on the same, we are under the same cosmos or what? The same, but each, everybody has their own heaven. When Jesus finished his baptism that day, a message came from above. In whom the heavens opened only on Jesus. Many people went for that baptism. But why only Jesus? So everybody has their own heaven. Use our mouth to call forth open heavens in all that we do. Finally, everything rests on our faith. So without faith, it is impossible. All that I have listed here, focus, without faith, it is what? Impossible. Father, we thank you for your word today. We give you all the glory, Lord. Every of our heart desire, as we lay it before you, we thank you for accomplishment. that at the end of it, Jesus said, it is finished. Amen. That means Jesus recognized the point of accomplishment. Lord, your word says there is an end. Whatever expectation my brothers and my sisters have brought before you, every areas of their life that they are anticipating your inevitable supernatural intervention, Father, bring about joy for them. Bring about joy unspeakable in that situation, O Lord. That child, in the name of Jesus, will know God, O Lord. They will dwell in the house of God, O Lord, in the name of Jesus, O Lord. Our Father, we bless your name, O Lord. We thank you, O Lord. We give you praise and we give you all the glory. For in Jesus' mighty name, we have praised you, Lord. Amen.